Welcome to episode 19 of the Cosmetic Course podcast. My name's Adrian Richards, and this podcast is going to be in two parts, in which I talk to Ron Myers about all sorts of issues, the meetings we've been to, how to assess your business for the new year. So it's quite a long recording, so we're going to do it in two parts, and I'll put you now straight into the first part of my interview with Ron. So hi Ron. Thank you very much for talking to us today. I just thought today, you know, we could cover a little bit about the industry, you know, making sure, you know, reviewing in the year, you know, talking about how to get your business as healthy as possible in the new year, assessing your business, and then perhaps a little bit about the various meetings we've been to.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I know it's been a very busy year for both of us, especially with these podcasts as well. And funny enough, I had someone phone up the consulting room who said that they enjoyed the one that we did on VAT recently. I don't know whether you've had any feedback from people as well.
Yeah, we have actually. And interestingly, the listening figures for the podcast are going up and up and up, which is really encouraging. And the recent one I did with David Eccleston on lower face Botox was really well received. David, I mean, as you know, he's really an excellent clinician and particularly good with Botox, isn't he?
Yes, he is. Yes, I think he's a very objective guy, and I know he's been involved with both trials and training as well. So he's certainly got a lot of knowledge.
Yeah, and in fact, we couldn't cram. You know, once we got talking, I had to sort of curtail the episode at 20 minutes. You know, because there was just so much good stuff there. So we're going to be doing more of those anyway. So which is I'm really looking forward to. So I know I've been in Barcelona recently at the Allergan meeting, and I know you were at the body meeting, which actually you organised, didn't you? So how did that go?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it's fine. It was held at the RSM. It was the second meeting, and we had over 150 people attend, and which I think is testament to the growth in that part of the market now, and how more and more clinics are getting involved in body aesthetic treatments and expanding their service offering. So it was interesting looking at the different components of the meeting as well. So we had quite a bit of debate around liposuction techniques. And Marco Gasparotti, who's very well known from Italy, was talking about traditional liposuction. Alfredo Hoyos from Colombia was talking about laser or ultrasound-assisted liposuction. And Steve Mahonan was talking about the radiofrequency-assisted liposuction as well. And it was interesting because, they all showed, obviously, great before and after photographs, and there didn't appear to be a huge amount of difference between the techniques. And I don't think there is a lot of clear scientific data or studies really comparing all of these. And so I think the conclusion was more that it's probably the skill of the surgeon that was as important as the particular way of getting the fat out. I don't know whether you'd agree with that.
Yeah, I think I would really. It's not really the tool, is it? You know, if you've got a carpenter, it's not how good his saws are, it's how good he is is the important thing. Obviously, he needs good saws, but...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we had an interesting two lectures as well from two vascular surgeons, as Harun Gajraj and Mark Whiteley, that both focus on vein treatments. And it was quite interesting looking at the different forms of vein treatment. So you got from sclerotherapy, varicose veins, lasers, through to endovenous laser or radiofrequency devices to shrink the veins down rather than vein stripping now. And I think it certainly seems to be going more that way. But also the other interesting thing was that I think there's an opportunity potentially for some medical clinics to get involved in that varicose vein surgery rather than just the thread veins, if you see what I mean. Partly because the NHS now is not funding a lot of those treatments. So that was quite interesting, really, as an aside to look and say, is there a business opportunity there now? And also Russell Emerson as well, who's a dermatologist, was talking about warts, skin tags, moles. And again, that's another area where I think there's an increasing opportunity for private services and private treatments, because you can't really access those sorts of facilities as easily as you could do on the NHS.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Ryan. I'm noticing, I'm being asked to do more of those sort of procedures locally. So, I mean, that's a good idea for a course. Maybe we should run a cosmetic course on, and I could teach people how to, because it's very easy to remove these lesions as long as you know what you're doing. If you can do a Botox or a filler injection, you can remove facial moles.
Absolutely, and I think warts, skin tags, moles, those kinds of things. I think there's a lot of people out there with those sorts of lesions or problems, and I think, as you say, as long as you're properly trained, then it's a relatively easy business to get into, and low cost as well with the sort of equipment that you need.
Yeah, well, brilliant. Well, I've written that down there, Ron, so I'm going to go and I'm sure Morag, who runs Cosmetic Horses, is going to be delighted with your idea of starting another course, but I'll tell her it came from you.
Okay.
So that was great. So the conference went well. So do you think many people are doing these non-surgical liposuction type techniques?
Well, I mean, you're talking about non-surgical or surgical?
I mean sort of VASER, those sort of, who's doing them?
It's grown tremendously. I mean, I think the kickoff really was Smart Lipo. That was nearly 4 years, well, it was 4 years ago now. So that was looking at this sort of laser lipolysis and looking at using a laser to, in inverted commas, sort of melt fat. That brought in, I think, a group of people who were running a medical aesthetic clinic who were more interested in doing surgical procedures but weren't necessarily surgeons themselves, which of course is a point of debate as well. And so you have a group of people who are coming from a different perspective and looking at this from a marketing opportunity rather than coming from a plastic surgeon's point of view, I think.
Yeah.
It has expanded the market. Whether or not these are safer tools than traditional liposuction, I think, is probably a point of debate. But undoubtedly, if you type in VASER, Body Type, Smart Lipo, those types of sort of brand names that we know of within the industry, you'll see a number of clinics now offering those treatments.
Yeah, so this is perhaps a decision whether our listeners need to make a decision as, are you going to be going to perform these treatments really in the future?
Well, I mean, I think liposuction is a growing market still, although I think if you look in terms of numbers of procedures, it's not as attractive as, obviously, injectable treatments in terms of numbers. And it is also becoming increasingly competitive as well. So the more people that offer these, the more people advertising, the harder it's going to be potentially to make money out of them. And I think we've seen that as well, is that the clinics that sort of got in early on into this business were doing an awful lot of Smart Lipo a few years ago, but now that's sort of tailed off to an extent. My feeling is, I think if you're going to include it in the concept, is that you've got to have the right person there who's delivering the treatment.
Yeah.
And that is probably, I think, a surgeon who's very familiar with, I think, liposuction procedures, who can be trained effectively on, using these newer procedures if you really want to look at that from a marketing perspective, because you believe people are looking for VASER or Body Tight or Smart Lipo.
Yes, I think it is sort of grade up in treatments, isn't it? And the potential for things going wrong is more.
Absolutely, there's more risk there, without a shadow of a doubt. And I think you need to think seriously about offering that type of procedure and really who does it, and also the whole follow up as well with that,
yeah,
which I think is important to make sure that if there are any problems, that you deal with them quickly and effectively before they do escalate.
Yeah, I'd 100% agree with that, Ron. Just moving on a little bit, I mean, the Barcelona meeting, thank you very much for Allergan for, taking me. It was great, and I learned a lot. It was more of a sort of business type meeting. There was lots of talk, yeah, about social media, how patients are, looking for reviews of your treatments now, and,
sure,
that you need to be visible on the internet, and it's not just a matter of, you telling them stuff, they're going to interact with other people and find out about you. An interesting thing, Ron, I saw an article, I think yesterday, about a plastic surgeon in America who is suing three patients who wrote things about him on a internet forum.
I saw that as well.
Yeah, what did you think about that?
Well, I mean, I think that is interesting as well, and I think the problem is when you're looking at review sites, it is, I think there are dangers there, obvious ones from either people that, that didn't have an actual problem, but for whatever reason didn't have a good experience or didn't like your service, through to competitors maybe, orchestrating this as well.
Yeah.
So I'm not really sure that all the checks and balances are in place there in order to really screen these reviews and also look at you know, how you actually get those reviews down once they're on the internet. Because once they're there, it's actually very easy for people to, you know, copy them, put them on other sites, to link in reviews. And in fact, even Google Maps, Google Places as well will actually look to harvest reviews from other sites that brings it into their review within Google Maps as well.
Yeah.
So you can sometimes have little control over where some of these reviews end up, and they can end up in multiple places, and some of them very visible. And I think, you know, Google Maps or Google Places is a very visible thing as well. So and becoming increasingly important with the injectable side of the market, because if you type in Botox and an area now, say Botox London or Botox Birmingham or whatever, Google Maps is one of those top places that comes up, because you can't do pay-per-click advertising on Google now. For Botox. And so those natural search engine listings or results become incredibly important, along with the map results, which are often at the top of the page anyway.
Yeah, so, I mean, Google's changing. So we'll probably do another episode on Google Places, but if you haven't done it, look up Google Places, claim your clinic there, and then fill out as much details as possible, so you can put photos, videos, opening hours, special offers, and people can write reviews on it. So the more you put on there, the better for your business, the higher your appeal.
Yeah, and you can input vouchers and offers on there as well, and that could even be, you know, something as simple as, you know, a free skin assessment or something like that, or if you're doing a hair removal offer, if you offer that, a short-term offer, you can put vouchers on that site as well.
Yeah, so definitely go to Google Places. That was good. Did you also hear about that surgeon who's being sued for suggesting that breast enlargement creams may not work?
Yes, crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, we live in a litigious world, unfortunately, and I think you can sue sort of like anyone for anything by the looks of it. I'm not sure how that will actually pan out, but I think both you and I will probably agree that any creams that are put on breasts are going to have a transient at best.
I'll be careful what you say, Ron.
Transient and better. I mean, if there were creams that really did this, they'd obviously be drugs.
Yes.
You know, if they stimulated breast tissue, we'd have to go through all the proper research and development in order to show that they were safe,
yes,
as well as effective. And so, you know, that's where I kind of look at the sort of cutoff, really. And it seems fairly clear to me that, you know, these things really don't do what they claim, but.
Yeah, I agree. I just saying that, so we've got two episodes there in a week. We've got a surgeon who said something that wasn't actually that contentious and is being sued. We've got some patients who have put their views up on a website, a forum, and they're being sued. So, you know, in this new world, you've just got to be very, very careful of what you put up, and do not talk negatively about any big company or any sort of surgeon where the reputation may be, you know, damaged. So just be very, very careful what you put up, because it's very difficult to get it off.
Totally agree with that. And it's actually very easy, because it's so easy for people to, you know, put off a quick comment on, you know, from their mobile phone nowadays on Twitter or Facebook. It's all linked into that. And, you know, it's very easy to put in something quite flippantly that you might say person to person that wouldn't be taken any further. But once it's down in writing and in on the internet, then, as you say, it's very easy for people to pick that information up, and people do as well. People with vested interests have keywords that are linked into basically pushing information to their email inbox relating to those keywords. And so if they've got a particular brand they've got a vested interest in they're promoting and selling, they'll basically ask Google, which you can do, anyone can do this, to send any information through that gets put onto the internet with those keywords in.
Yeah.
And it'll just push you through in a report every day for you. And it's something that's not a bad idea for any business as well, if you know, to do that on Google and put in your own business name and your own personal name as well, especially if you're a surgeon, just to see and pick up anything that might be either positive or particularly if it's anything negative out there, so you can address it really quickly.
And you do that just by going to Google Alerts, A-L-E-R-T-S, and just putting in the phrases you get, and you'll get a daily email.
Absolutely. Just an email through to your inbox every day.
An interesting thing we had, Ron, last week is we had a picture of a patient. It didn't actually show her face at all. It was a before and after breast enlargement picture. And unfortunately, the person who put it up had not taken their name off the tags. So although you couldn't see the name on the picture, you know, every picture has sort of data behind it. Her name was still there. So she actually found, or a colleague of hers, found the picture by searching for her name on the internet.
Yes.
So if you are putting pictures up there, just be aware there are words and descriptions of that picture available. And so if you're putting a Botox picture up, put Botox before and after. Do not have any identifying things. So just a little tip from me on that one.
Yeah, I totally agree. And in fact, I mean, the advantage of doing that as well is because if you search in Google Images, which is really where you see these pictures come up, then obviously you prefer to have those images come up that were looking at the you know, what I would do is actually probably put in Botox before, after, and then the area that you're in.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in other words, if somebody does type in, you know, that treatment in that area, and then they start to look in images, then it's likely that you'll probably come up in that first page.
Yeah, that's a good tip. So to do
rather than, as you say, a patient name, which is really what you definitely don't want in there.
No. How do they edit the picture attributes, Ron?
It depends on how you've got your website set up and whether or not you've got a content management system that you can actually load in yourself, or whether or not you're going to give this to a web designer to do. Any web designer hopefully should be aware of this, but in essence what I would do is you've got to label the image, say if it's a JPEG image or whatever it is, just label the image with the words that you want. So it's, say for instance, Botox before and after Birmingham.jpg. And then when that's loaded into your website as well, you can put in keywords and meta tags that relate to that image as well. So this is basically, other words. So sometimes when you hover over an image, you'll see certain words come up.
Yeah.
That's related again to putting in basically just some words in these keywords and meta tags that then Google can read and basically display over the image as well. So as long as they're all consistent, that all makes sense and is very easy to do.
Yeah. Okay, so a word of sort of caution about putting stuff up on the internet.
So thanks a lot for listening. Big thank you to Ron for joining us for that interview there. As I mentioned, we're going to be continuing with the interview in the subsequent podcast, which will be the next one in the series. That will be episode 19. So again, thank you for listening. We'd love it if you could give us any feedback on the podcast. You can do that on iTunes. And if you give us a star rating or just leave a comment, that will be absolutely great because it helps us go up the rankings. If you like the podcast, please let us know. If you'd like us to talk about any other issues, either with David Eccleston, a clinical issue, or with Ron about anything to do with the industry, again, please let us know and we'll be happy to include it. So again, thanks for listening and I hope you enjoy the next episode 20, in which I continue my discussions with Ron.